$15.50, the driver demanded in a heavy accent.
Do you take credit? I responded politely.
No, no cards. Machine's broken.
Giving a slight smile to the heavily browed eyes staring at me in the rearview mirror, I pulled out my wallet. As many times as I'd ridden in a New York City cab, I'd never gotten used to the attitude of the taxi drivers. It irked me every time. Still, it was either that or our family's personal driver, who would shadow me around, reporting every move I made to my parents. All things considered, I much preferred independence. I handed the driver a 20 and opened the door. Almost instantly, he sped off, leaving me struggling to maintain my footing while coughing in the cloud of gray exhaust he left behind. "Jerk," I mumbled as I smoothed my cropped trousers and then bent down to adjust a strap on my Italian leather sandals.
"Do you need help, miss?" asked a young man nearby.
Standing up, I gave him the once-over. His department store jeans, I Heart New York tee, and scruffy boy-next-door appearance instantly told me he wasn't from the city. No self-respecting New Yorker, at least none I knew, would be caught dead in an NYC tee. He wasn't bad-looking, but when I considered his likely determinate stay in the city coupled with the fact that he would obviously not be parental-approved, I surmised that any further dialogue would be a waste of time. Not my type. I hadn't figured out exactly what my type was yet, but I figured I'd know it when I saw it. "No thanks," I smiled. "I'm good." With a no-nonsense stride, I headed toward the steps of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. The girls at my school would think I was an idiot for passing up a cute boy slash potential boyfriend, or at the very least, a fun distraction. It was easier not to make any promises I didn't plan on keeping, especially with a boy who hadn't met any of my requirements for the perfect guy. The list wasn't complete yet, but I had been adding to it for as long as I'd been old enough to be interested in boys. Above all else, I was careful and thoughtful about my choices. Even though I was very picky, wore only designer clothes, and had a monthly allowance bigger than what most people my age earned in a year, I was by no means a snob. My parents had certain expectations of me, and the money was used as a means to fulfill them. I was always taught that the image one portrays, though certainly not 100% accurate, was an indicator of the type of person you were. Despite my efforts to find evidence that this wasn't always the case, among the people I went to school and hung out with, it often was. My father, a successful international finance lawyer, always said, "Bankers trust the suit first and the man second," his version of dress for success. He and my mother, who spent most of her waking hours in her skyscraper office at one of the largest media companies in the city, dictating orders to her personal assistant, had drilled into me that image was everything. Mostly, I was left on my own as long as I did what they expected, which included attending various functions, portraying myself as a doting daughter, and getting straight A's at my all-girls private school. And, of course, not dating the wrong type of boy, which I accomplished by not dating at all. In turn, I was given a generous allowance and the freedom to explore New York. A freedom I cherished, especially today, the first day of spring break. The Met was one of my favorite hideouts. Not only did my parents approve of the institution, a definite plus, but it was a great place to people watch. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do in the future, but this was the week I had to figure it out. I'd already been accepted to a number of parent-approved universities. Mother and father, they hated being called mom and dad, wanted me to major in something that would make them proud, like medicine, business, or politics, but none of those really interested me. What I really enjoyed was studying people. People of the past, like the ones I read about at the Met, or even just the people walking around in New York City. In fact, I kept a little book full of notes on the most interesting people I saw. How I would turn this admittedly strange hobby into a career, I had no idea. My parents would never approve of my becoming a counselor, mostly because they believed a person should be able to take charge of their own mental health by merely willing themselves to overcome any obstacle they might face. Consorting with those they considered beneath their station wasn't something they encouraged, and yet becoming a counselor was the one career path that made the most sense to me. Anytime I thought about the future, my parents came to mind. What they had planned was a constant drumming on my consciousness, and if I entertained the idea of deviating from their plans even an iota, I was filled with guilt, which effectively choked the life out of any little seeds of rebellion. One of those seeds was where I applied to college. Technically, it wasn't a mutiny, since they knew about it. I was allowed to apply to places that interested me as long as I sent in the paperwork to the ones my parents approved of as well. Of course, they'd been thrilled when I was accepted to them all, but there was no doubt that they were pushing me in a certain direction. Now, spring break of my senior year was finally here, a time most teens loved, and I was dreading it. If only everything didn't have to be decided right now. Mother and father had given me until the end of the week to choose my college and my major. Starting college as undecided was not an option. Stopping at the counter, I flashed my lifetime membership card and swiftly walked through the roped entrance.
"Hello, Miss Young," said the old guard with a smile. "Here all day?"
I shook my head. "Half day, Bernie. Meeting the girls for lunch."
"Should I be watching for them?"
he asked.
"No, I'll be alone today."
"Very good," he said,
securing the rope behind me and returning to help with the line of tourists. There were definitely some perks to having parents who donated annually to the Met. And since I was an only child, I was lucky enough to receive the full benefit of their monetary donations, wisdom, and experience. They were loving, too, if love looks like a stiff upper lip of pride and approval. But I was often lonely, and at times felt trapped.